Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Savior of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Savior of the world. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Savior of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, Savior of the world.
Amen, and good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I hope all of you have had a happy Thanksgiving. Amen? Amen, I'm sure you have. I want to welcome you here. If you're a guest with us here today, in your bulletin there's a spot that says, Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship. You can take a moment and fill that out, tear that part off, put it in the little wood offering box by the double doors that you came in this morning. And that lets us know who was here worshiping with us this morning. Well, today's a special Sunday, as you know. Every year after Thanksgiving, we have Adult Teen Challenge with us. And we have several of these gentlemen with us here today, and we're very thankful for them. This is a ministry that we've been part of for I don't even know how many years anymore. However, we've seen several people completely get their lives turned around for the Lord Jesus Christ after going through their program. It's a year-long program, basically of discipleship is what it is. And so you get in that program and you learn how to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you learn how to walk with Him through life. And he begins to get these folks freed up from addictions that they may struggle with, and it's just a great privilege of ours to be able to be part of your ministry. I was looking back the other day, Chris, after we talked, of my children when they were little, and they were over there with me where you guys are in Azle, right? Azle, yeah. And we were unloading food for you guys and all that kind of stuff, and so it's just a great ministry that we have an amazing privilege to be part of. And we're going to take up a love offering for them today, as we always do. And so if you write your check out, write it out to Grace Bible Fellowship, and then we will send them one big check for all the money that's taken up for them. And just in the memo, put AD challenge, okay? Adult teen challenge, AT, I guess, right? AT challenge. Put that in the memo. That lets our financial person know exactly where that money needs to go to, in one big check as we do every year. Now, one of the things that we started last Sunday, and by the way, if you weren't with us last Sunday, I would encourage you to go back, get online, and listen to that sermon, because we talked about the importance of God's church. And one of the things that we started last Sunday is we decided for the next 40 days till the end of the year, we're going to pray for and thank God for our church, okay? And so every day, even make a list if you want to of things that you have to be thankful for the Lord's church. You know, a lot of people consider God's universal church as his idea, but then they think of the local church as man's idea, and nothing could be further from the truth. The word church is used 110 times in the New Testament, and only four of those times is it talking about the overall universal church of God. 106 times it's talking about a local body of believers, just like GBF. And so for the rest of the year, we're going to end this year, starting with Thanksgiving, thanking God for my church family. And here's why that's so important. If you begin to thank God for something in your life, it will change your whole mindset about whatever it is or whoever it is. If you begin to thank God for your marriage, it will change your marriage. If you begin to thank God for your parents, it will change the way you see your parents. There's something miraculous that God does in our lives when we become thankful, when we go to him and we begin to be thankful for the things that he's done in our lives. I want to read something to you real quick. It's called Community Makes God Visible. Nothing is sweet or easy about community. Community is a fellowship of people who do not hide their joys and sorrows, but make them visible to each other as a gesture of hope. In community, we say life is full of gains and losses, joy and sorrows, ups and downs. But we do not have to live it alone. We want to drink our cup together and thus celebrate the truth that the wounds of our individual lives, which seem intolerable when lived alone, become sources of healing when we live them as part of a fellowship of mutual care. Community is like a large mosaic. Each little piece seems so insignificant. One piece is bright red, another cold blue or dull green, another warm purple, another sharp yellow, another shining gold. Some look precious, others look ordinary. Some look valuable, others worthless. Some look gaudy, others delicate. We can do little with them as individual stones except to compare them and judge their beauty and their value. When, however, all of these little stones are brought together in one big mosaic, portraying the face of Jesus Christ, who would ever question the importance of any one of them? If one of them, even the least spectacular one, is missing, the face is incomplete. Together in one mosaic, Each little stone is indispensable and makes a unique contribution to the glory of God. And that is community, a fellowship of little people who together make God visible in the world. Amen? Henry Nouwen. In other words, you weren't just saved to believe. You were saved to believe and you were saved to belong. To belong to a community, a small group of people that makes God visible to the world. So join us in praying for our church. That our church, Grace Bible Fellowship, would be the face of Jesus Christ to the outside world. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for this time, Lord, that we have together to worship you. And Lord, my prayer is that this worship service would not be about us. My prayer is that it would be all about you. And that, Lord, as even as these folks from Adult Teen Challenge get up here and share testimonies, that everything they say and do would be for your glory and for your benefit. Lord, I pray today that we would love you. All of us come here, and we have a lot of stuff going on. Some of us are just super busy. Some of us are angry. We're super angry at stuff. We just need forgiveness. We need to be forgiven. Lord, some of us today, we hurt. Life is painful. Life is hurtful. And we need peace. We need to know joy again in our lives. But whatever we come here with this morning, my prayer, Lord Jesus, is that we would lay it at your feet and for 1 hour let you be God. For 1 hour, worship you as the sovereign God of this world and this universe. And our prayer this morning, as we continue singing in a moment, is that we would not mindlessly sing words of songs that we've known for 20 years, but that every word we sing would be a praise offering back to you. And our prayer, Lord Jesus, is that at the end of this service, that your heart would be blessed and your kingdom furthered. In Jesus' name, amen.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing, yeah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of
to my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Come now, fount, come now, King. Come now, precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come now, fount of our blessing. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Come now, fount, come now, King. Come now, precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come now, fount of our blessing. Come now, King. Come now, precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come now, fount of our blessing. Come now, fount, come now, King. Come now, precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come now, fount of our blessing. You search me, how you know me. You perceive my every thought from afar. In all my wandering, still you love me. King of glory, you pursue my anxious heart. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truth holds, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I'm not your faithful, Lord, you search me, how you know me. You perceive my every thought from afar. In all my wandering, still you love me. King of glory, you pursue my anxious heart. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truth holds, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I'm not your faithful, and where can I go from your spirit? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? And where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? And where would I go, where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truth holds, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not your faithful, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? And where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go. Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who does not abandon. You are the God who stays steady no matter what we do. You are not dependent on circumstances. You don't flip out, get overwhelmed. You don't respond the way that we humans do. And yet you understand us, and you created a plan knowing our faults, our weaknesses. We thank you for creating that plan, sending your son to this earth as a human, to live a life as we live for 33 years, but perfectly, to pay the sacrifice for us for all time, so that we could walk in step with you again and join you in relationship. So, Father, we thank you for that sacrifice and the gift, and for being a steady foundation for us, being faithful even when we're not. Father, I pray that this morning, whatever's going on, whether it's hurt, anger, as Chris prayed, whatever it is, that we would just lay it at your feet this morning and allow you to be God this hour. Just lay it all at your feet, all the distractions, so that we can meet with you this morning, Father. Pray that you change our hearts today and allow us to walk in your strength and in your peace when we leave here. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Yep, it's good. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Well, first of all, I just would like to say, thank you for having us out, and it's a huge blessing for us to be able to come out and give witness to God's work in our campus and in our program, and also to have you guys' support. I know you mentioned we've been involved for some time now. I believe it's right around maybe just shy over 10 years. I came into the program myself first in 2013. I went through the program. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the name Jeff and Connie Johnson, but I went through with him, and I think he was the first guy that you guys sent that was involved in your church. But anyway, so those of you that don't know about Adult and Teen Challenge, we're a campus out in Azle, Texas, which is west of Fort Worth. We can house at around 75 guys. We've got about 60 out there right now. When it first started on 7, we had the capacity of around 22. And so with now having the capacity of 75, you can imagine over the past 10, 15 years how much we've grown. I remember when I first came in, the campus, the property just had one small building. And then we had another building attached to it we used as a classroom. But now, in 2024, we have staff housing. We've got a new kitchen that we're building outside of the main building. It's going to be great, because right now, currently, we have a small kitchen and a small dining area, and we're growing. And so we've got 60 guys crammed into one small little dining area. It's kind of getting crowded. Also, our chapel as well, we're looking at expanding that as well. Lots of projects around campus, but as far as the program in itself, it is a discipleship program with a lot of structure. Some of these guys may call it a Bible boot camp. There's a lot of rules. These guys, they wake up at 5:30 a.m. every day, and they go straight into worship. That's the first thing that they do. 15 minutes of worship, 15 minutes of prayer before breakfast, and then they go into Proverbs, and then it's a rigorous schedule to follow. And it's all about the Lord. I mean, these guys come in and they pretty much are living in a church. And it's awesome. I know when I came in, I wasn't a believer. I was a heroin addict for a long time. And when I came in, I was ready and willing to do anything other than what I was doing, because I forgot what it was like to be normal at one point. I just didn't know how to live life. I didn't know what to do. I needed help. And when these guys come in, they're broken, they're exhausted, and they're ready for change. It's a huge commitment, and it's a tough choice. I work in admissions, and sometimes I get calls, and I talk to the guys and I explain to them about the program, and they're like, a year? Like, I don't want to do a year. Like, I didn't even know rehabs or recovery centers lasted that long. Because I mean, it's a huge commitment. It's 12 months minimum. Some of these guys stay for 2 years and more. So just going on, these guys that I have here today, they're great guys. Some of them work in the kitchen. Some of them, they work out in the field. We have lots of different responsibilities around campus. And as we get new guys in and, you know, guys are phasing up to different phases, we put them in different areas and they have different responsibilities. And like we have guys from all the way from North Maine to South California. I give out my cell phone number, and I get people calling me from North Dakota. I'm like, how'd you get my number? I'm like, well, I got it from a friend. But God is so good. I love doing what I do. I have the opportunity to serve in this ministry with my wife. We both live on campus with our four kids. She's over marketing, and I'm over admissions. And so it changed my life. It's my first and last recovery center. And I think the main thing, not only is it the longevity of the program, but the Jesus factor. That's the only thing that saved me. It wasn't the program. It wasn't the fellowship. All that stuff helped. But the main thing that saved me was meeting Jesus for the first time and reading the Word of God for the first time. And Adult and Teen Challenge, man, it's a wonderful opportunity, because how often do you get to take a year out of your life and set responsibilities aside, set bills aside, put everything away, and focus on the Lord? That's it. That's all they got to do. Is just focus on the Lord, put Him first, and follow schedule, of course. But we appreciate y'all very much. I'm going to introduce our first guest here today. And so I'm going to introduce our first one, Jacob Mobley.
I'm Jacob Mobley. I'm 26 years old, and I'm from Houston, Texas. My life started out in a toxic house, a household. My mom used to lock me in a closet, and like I used to have to kneel on rice and stuff. So my grandpa took me out of that household, and I started living with my grandpa. And I didn't really have a foundation there. I could go and do whatever I wanted to do. So by junior high, I skipped school, and I got introduced to meth. And it just set me free. So the course of, I don't know, the all the way up to my sophomore year, the addiction got so strong I couldn't hold school together, and I couldn't hold my addiction. So I gave up school and I started my addiction, and I would never stay home. And the person that took me in to get me out of that toxic environment, I abandoned. I remember my grandpa telling me, like, bud, will you please stay home? Please stay home with me. I'm alone. I don't want to be alone. And I never would. I'll run off to the addiction just because of all the grip of my past was wearing on me. So I ran to my addiction, and by the time I got to my 18th birthday, my grandpa was in and out of the hospital. I will always go drop him off at the hospital, and I'll leave and go get high. And then when he calls me, I'll go back and pick him up. And then one day, I dropped him off at the hospital with my mom, and I ran off to get high again. And I went to pick him up, and that's the last conversation I ever had with my grandpa. He was introduced in end-stage renal failure. And so during hospice, I would, you know, give him the medicine, and he would go to sleep. And when he went to sleep, I would run off and get high again. So that went through, and my 18th birthday came up. My mom and them gave me a bunch of money, and I ran off to get high again. Well, every night I would come home, high or not, I'll tell my grandpa I love him. Well, on my 18th birthday, I came home, and there was no saying goodbye. I went in there, seen him, walked outside to smoke a cigarette. My dad came outside and said, your grandpa has passed away. This is the only man that ever really loved me and took me in, and I abandoned him for my addiction. And so I wasn't in a good place, and I tried to commit suicide twice, and one time my mom walked in, and she had to cut me down. And I couldn't do it, so I kept going and kept going. I knew that I could OD off of drugs, so that was my goal, was to do that. And I wake up from coming home, my mom be sitting across from me crying, wondering when is this the last time she's going to see her baby boy. And then I met my girlfriend, and she had a two-month-old daughter, so I quit hard drugs, and I raised that girl for 2 years. Well, that relationship didn't work out, and she ended up leaving. I thought I could do it by myself because I had a $300 a day job. I had a nice truck. I thought I could do it. I wasn't doing hard drugs no more, but I was still smoking, and I'm on probation. So my family got tired of me going to prison. They wanted nothing to do with me no more, so I lost everything. No family. All I had was my job, so I put everything into work. That's all I cared about was work. So probation came back around, and I was about to go back to prison. And I had a framing challenge, and he told me about teen challenge, and finally I realized I could not do it on my own. I didn't have a family, didn't have no one behind me, so I came to teen challenge, and teen challenge has showed me that God's a restorer, he's a replenisher, he's a healer, because not only is he healing me, but my mama, she can sleep at night again. She's not worried about me ODing or, you know, a call from prison, I'm going back to prison and something happened to me in prison. He restored my family. I seen my mom yesterday after 8 months and not seeing my mom, not one time. My mom hugged me and cried, and it's not tears of, you know, of scaredness or pain. It's my mom's crying because she's happy, because she knows I'm in a good place now. And when I used to call my dad from prison, I'd tell him about the things that were going on, and he'd tell me, call my mom or call my nanny to pray for me or pray for myself. My dad found his mom in the house dead of a stroke, and she fell and hit her head, so he was mad at God. So when I'm at Teen Challenge and I call my dad, he tells me he's going to pray for me. God has used me to get my dad back. My dad is praying again, and that's my best friend. I was worried about him, but God has healed him and restored him. My mom loves me. She can sleep at night again. So it's just a blessing, and God has helped me work on my pride. I can hear people now. I don't just lash out and, you know, tear other people down because I'm tore down. So that's working through that way. And this is my first testimony, so I'm kind of nervous. But thank you. But just the brotherhood that we have at Teen Challenge. When you're feeling down and you want to go home, these brothers, they will not let you go home. They won't. They build you up. Instead of talking about your priorities or what you got going on to glorify it, to make you seem okay in your head, they'll read a verse to you, or they'll talk about what God's doing in your life or the positivity that they're going to. Teen Challenge has truly saved my life, and what they don't know is they saved my family. They have saved my mom. They have saved my dad. My little brother sees me doing good. He's stopping. He has a full-time job now. He's working. He's not running the streets trying to follow me no more. He's following me into the good path. So I don't know this Teen Challenge. If y'all know anybody that's struggling, it doesn't matter what it is, with drug addiction, depression, Teen Challenge is a place to go. And the verse that I stand on is Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure, and he is a shield to those who put his trust in him. Thank you all.
Thank you, Jacob. So a few ways to get involved with some of these guys, a little bit more on a personal level. We do have student sponsorships available. If any of you guys are interested in sponsoring a student, some of these guys, when they come in, they have nothing and nobody. And a student sponsorship is kind of a way to get involved and support some of these guys that have nothing and nobody. And it'll enable you to write letters or send Walmart gift cards or just maybe take them out on a pass, you know, stuff like that. And so it's a great way for these guys to get some support and just kind of have a family type atmosphere and just kind of witness God's, you know, God's work. But like he was saying, if any of y'all know anybody that's struggling or if, you know, you're driving along the way and you see somebody just out on the street, give us a call. It can cost next to nothing to get in because these guys, they work. They work hard. And some of them are stretched thin. Some of them have a lot of responsibilities. And they're working to provide that way for the next guy that's going to come in.
And so, because we are a nonprofit, we don't like get any help from government or anything like that. These guys work their program, you know, through the vocation program and you know other stuff. We do storefront fundraising and stuff like that. But get involved. So I'd like to introduce our next testimony. His name is Nick. He's from up north. You can tell by his accent. I'll let him speak.
Morning, church. How's everybody doing? Good. My name is Nicholas Damiata. I'm 36 years old. I'm originally from a town just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. Growing up at a very young age, you know, I'm coming from an Italian-Irish background, very close to my cousins and my uncles. I really looked up to them, really emulated them. At a very young age, I had learned that they were involved in, you know, drug dealing and various illegal activities. Being that young of an age, was what I really looked up to, you know, the fancy clothes and the cars and all that stuff. So at a young age, around 16 years old, was when I first started selling marijuana and getting involved in drugs myself. Despite the best efforts from my family, who are very, very good people, who I'm still very close with, you know, trying to send me away to private school in upstate New York and various things like that. At 17, when I was on summer break, I caught my first DWI. I was arrested and placed on probation, and the floodgates kind of opened from there. Between 18 and 21 years old, I caught a few more possession charges, constantly violating probation. To the point where when I was 21, I ended up getting arrested with a group of individuals. We were selling heroin, and I went away for 2 years. After getting done with that, I got out, got involved in personal training. I was really good for a while. Again, never really, you know, raised Catholic, never actually getting into the Word of God, never actually cracking open a Bible and never understanding, you know, that Jesus died for our sins. It wasn't until I came here. But fast forward, you know, I've been in Texas now about 7 years. I came out here, was doing really well for a while. Again, not going to church, really not understanding the word, just kind of living on my own will, so to speak. And just this past July, I ended up catching a domestic charge involving my ex, and I was sent to Tarrant County Jail. And, you know, being in Tarrant County, I don't know if anybody's ever been in there. It's really not the greatest place. No jail is, but, you know, the first couple weeks in there, you know, I'd gotten into fights, various different things, you know, being sent to SEG unit just to be able to come back. And after about 2-3 weeks of just feeling completely broken, you know, I ended up reaching out to a friend of mine just to kind of rewind a little bit. When I did come out to Texas, I became a certified behavioral therapist. I was working with children on the spectrum for autism. And the guy that hired me actually is an attorney out of the DFW area. So, you know, sitting in Tarrant, bond was set very high. I really had no idea when I was going to get out. The only person that I knew in the whole state of Texas that it was a lawyer was him. So I decided to use one of my phone calls and call him. And, you know, he told me that he really wasn't sure what he could do for me. And I kind of just left it at that. About a week or so later, he came to visit me in the visiting center. And he is a born-again Christian. He's very devout. Him and his wife are both military people, and they're believers. And I sat down with him, and the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to start talking about my case. And, you know, he cut me off kind of mid-sentence and said, whoa, I didn't even tell you I'm taking your case. He said, let me ask you a question. You know, how is your connection with God? And I was kind of thrown off by that, and, you know, I kind of paused for a minute, and I was kind of like, well, you know, I've always believed. I have always believed, you know what I mean? But obviously I'm sitting in jail right now, you know, and all these fights and all this other stuff, not really knowing when I'm going to get out. So I don't really know, you know, what you want me to say regarding that. And he said, okay. And he said, well, and he kind of abruptly ended the meeting. He said, well, I don't really know what I can do for you, but if there is something I could do for you, I'll let you know. So I went back to the Green Bay unit that day, really kind of resigned to my fate, thinking that I was going to be looking at some more prison time. And it wasn't until about a week or so later that, you know, the COs woke me up at about 3 o'clock in the morning and told me that, you know, I was getting bonded out. And I really had no idea what was going on at the time. So anybody who's been through that process, it's a very, very long process. You kind of sit there for a long time and not really know what's going on. So after getting over to the probation office, again, I had nothing, no cell phone, really no clothes, nothing like that. And I was kind of just sitting there, and, you know, a probation officer went walking by and they said, hey, somebody wants to talk to you. And sure enough, it was, you know, Brandon Barnett, that's his name. And he got on the phone with me and he said, you know, here's the deal. He said, I spoke to the judge. You know, he's also a very devout Christian. He is not willing to send you to any program, any 12-step program, anything like that. The only place he's going to agree to send it to you is Adult and Teen Challenge. And I have never heard of that place before. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, he said, it's a faith-based rehabilitation center. It's a year-long program. He said, if you are willing to do that, right, he said, your bond has been lowered from $30,000 down to $7,000. He said, I paid that amount for you to get out. And he said, the biggest thing that both the judge and I agreed upon is that we really want you to open up the Bible and we want you to learn the Word. He said, I've seen you at your best. He said, his son is autistic, who I worked with exclusively for a year. He said, my son talks about you all the time, and he really loves you. And he said, I know that you're a good person. I know that you're better than this. And he said, so are you willing to do that? And he said, if you're not, let me know right now, and we can end the phone call, and you can just go right back to, you know, where you're at and take your chances with that. So I said, yeah, you know, I'll give it a shot. So sure enough, as soon as I got off the phone, 5 minutes later, Chris Hickman was there to pick me up. The rest is history. It's been a really interesting ride up to this point. I've been there for about 5 months, going on six. When I did get released, I was released on an ankle monitor, which was an absolute nightmare for the first couple months. I don't know if y'all have ever been to Azle, but Azle doesn't really have very good cell phone service out there. So for the first like 60 days, it was constantly dropping signal on my monitor, where it would send off this alarm that sounded like a police siren that would wake everybody up in the dorm. And you know, Chris would get the notification on his phone, so he'd come over at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we would go off, and that was kind of the thing for, you know, 30 to 60 days. And there were times, man, that I really wanted to give up. I really did. But there was a voice that was always talking to me, which I know now is God, you know, telling me to just hang on. You know, things are going to get better. And I continued to go to court, you know, reset. You know, Chris, who's my advisor and just an amazing individual, was always with me, always brought me there, and really kind of talked some sense into me, because there was a couple times where I really wanted to give up, you know. And, you know, long story short, you know, they ended up taking the ankle monitor off. You know, I didn't go back to prison, obviously. I'm sitting right here talking to y'all. You know, I was given another opportunity. They put me on probation. But as Jacob said, you know, every single one of those guys sitting on the row right there have played a huge part in helping me and helping me learn more about myself and helping me get closer to God. I love Adult and Teen Challenge. I really do owe a debt of gratitude. I owe my life to the place, and I owe my life to God and Jesus Christ. The verse that I stand on is John 1:5, and the light shine through the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. Thank you.
Yeah, I remember all those court dates. We went to court probably, I don't know, six times. But to God be the glory, for sure. So I want to introduce our next testimony, Justin Smethers. Just like these other guys, you know, he's been here for a little while, and he's definitely got a powerful testimony as well.
Thank y'all for having us. I just want to say, as much as it blesses y'all to hear our story, it also helps us. The Bible says we're overcomers by the word of our testimony. My name is Justin Smethers. I'm from Midland, Texas. And I was all the way until 11 years old. I went to a small church with my family, and then it broke up, and we stopped going to church after that. About 12, I started smoking cigarettes, stealing my mom's cigarettes, smoking with friends. By the age of 13, I was already drinking alcohol, going to youth center dances, trailer house parties, smoking weed at the city park. All the way from 13 to 15, that's what I was doing. And at 16, I met this older woman. She was about 30 years old, and she introduced me to crystal meth. And around that same time, me and some friends were running the streets, committing robberies while we were high and stuff. And I ended up going to juvenile for a burglary of a building, breaking and entering of a house. And I did a year, and when I got out, nothing changed. You know, I just kind of thought I got smarter at it and went right back into the lifestyle, the streets and stuff. It was just me and my mom. My mom raised me. At 18 years old, I caught a first-degree felony for engagement in organized crime. There's about four of us. I was 18, hanging around some 30-year-olds, and it was for counterfeit, forgery, burglary, and drugs. And they gave me 5-year sentence. I did 2.5, you know, made all the promises to my family that when I get out, I won't commit no more crimes. I won't do any drugs. And there's a saying that goes that People with good intentions make promises, but people with good character keep them. I had all the right intentions. I wanted my life to be better. And when I got out, I did good for about a year, and I was on parole. But then I relapsed, and the drugs had a hold on me. I never really committed any more crimes, but I was on parole, and I violated my parole, and they sent me to ISF unit for 90 days. And while I was in there, my mom had told me that there's this other option, that when I get out, I can go to the ministry. And I wanted to do something different with my life. And so when I got out, that's what I decided to do. Back then, y'all probably wouldn't have liked me, you know. The only record I've had is about that thick in downtown county jail, you know what I mean? But Jesus has completely changed my life. Before I came to the Lord, I didn't have my license. I didn't have my GED. And I've never, you know, really loved myself. But after I came to the Lord, he helped me get my license, my GED. You know, I've traveled the United States, being able to witness to people, not big groups like this. So this is a little different. it's kind of harder. But God has changed my life. And let's see, I've been in the ministry now. I was in South Houston. I became a leader there, and I felt like I was on top of a mountain hitting home runs, you know. And then I got some news that my grandpa has cancer. And I decided to drink some beer, and I lost all self-control. And I left the ministry because they took my leadership, and I felt guilt and shame. And I went right back downtown Houston and just started throwing everything away again. And a friend I haven't seen in 2 years got a hold of me and asked me if I wanted help. And that was Leroy. He's in Teen Challenge. And I told him, yeah, you know, I'm ready. So I went to Teen Challenge, and ever since I've been there, God has just showed me different options, different routes. I don't know exactly what I want to do with my life, but I gave it to God, you know, and that's what he appreciates, because there's a lot of options that I could become, you know, a staff member, or I can do Bible college, CF and I. We go to that quite a bit. Or, you know, I can just do reentry and get a job or something. I really don't know what I want to do, but I gave it to God. And one of the Bible verses I stand on is Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and are safe. I used to run from the Lord like a track star. You know, I was running hard from the Lord, but now I run to the Lord. And because of that, I'm safe, you know. And amen. That's all I got. Thank you.
Well, thank you all very much for having us. I just want to say again, you know, it's a huge blessing for us to come out here. And then, you know, thank you for all the support and the food for the kitchen, and also the financial support that you guys provide, have provided over the past 10 years. But I would like to make a request, if you guys could just also pray for our center, pray for, you know, all the projects that we have going on, pray for, you know, new staff. We're needing staff out there. Just expansion. We're constantly growing because there's a need. The I don't know the statistics, the percentages or whatever, but the need for beds versus the beds available is totally off, you know. So we constantly run at about 60 guys, and sometimes we have to move guys around and make room, you know. But anyway, Pastor Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let me just say to you guys that it's a big deal to get up here in front of a bunch of people you don't know, and with humility, like you have done this morning, talk about your past, talk about your mistakes, and how you, the Lord had to humble you and get you to the point to where you were ready to surrender. And that's literally the point that he wants to get all of us to. And the thing that keeps us from getting there is lack of humility, that constant pride that we have to prove ourselves and be something to somebody else or whatever. So it's always a real blessing to me, and I know it is to our people, to be able to share this time with you where you get up here and you're not hiding stuff anymore. You know, what really kills us and keeps us from being where God wants us to be is the act we put on, the mask we wear, to make people believe that we're something maybe a little bit bigger than we really are in real life. And at the end of the day, we all just need Jesus. At the end of the day, we all just need to surrender to him. And so it's a real honor to have you guys with us today and for you to have the character to get up here and honestly share what's going on in your life and being a witness for the Lord. So I'm going to ask y'all to do one more thing. I want our church to pray for you and with you. I'm going to ask if you guys would just come up here and stand right here on the floor in front of this stage. If you don't mind, thank you. And church family, we're going to have a time where we are going to pray for them, but we're also going to pray with them. So I'm going to invite you as you feel led. Matt's just going to softly play for a few minutes. If you feel led, you come up and you pray with one of these men. Maybe one of them had something in their testimony that really spoke to you. Pray with them. Pray for the program they're going through. The reason I love this program, it's just 12 years of the Word of God. Getting discipled, being loved, and being prayed over for 12 months. Sorry. Nobody's going to join now, right? 12 years, are you kidding me? 12 months, right? But that's what I love about this program. I mean, they're being discipled in the Word of God daily for 12 months, and you see what happens. You see the miracles that happen in their lives. And so Matt's going to play for us, and you guys just hang out. And I'm going to invite you, if you want to, come up and just pray with one of these young men, pray for their program. You might even want to ask them if they'd pray for you about something, okay? Matt, you lead us, please, sir.
Thank you.
of you join me in prayer for these men and their ministry. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for these men and we thank you for their humility. Thank you for speaking through each one of them in a miraculous way and being such a blessing to us and encouraging us to let go and let you be God in our lives. For us to quit playing God and forgive us for when we do that. We all do it at different times in life. And so, Lord, we just, it's always a real blessing and a real reminder of the importance of the fact that you are the healer and that you're a God that loves us more than we could ever dream or imagine. And at the end of the day, regardless of what our circumstances, we can always see the cross. And that's where you proved your love for us. That's where you proved to us that we matter and that we are important and that you have a purpose for our lives. And so I pray that those truths would go deep into these men's hearts and the other folks that are involved in this program. And I pray you just continue to bless them. And I pray that this program would just continue to always be about Jesus Christ and that it would be for his kingdom and that it would be for his glory. And no one take credit for it, but give all the credit and all the glory to you. So we thank you for this special time, and I thank you for how our people have reached out and prayed for these people, prayed for this program, brought food for them for the Christmas holidays, and for the love offering that we're going to take up for them today. And we just pray your blessing on it. I pray that you bless every gift in a special way as only you can. And we thank you again for these gentlemen and for being able to have the great privilege of being part of their ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Matt, you lead us in our closing song, please, sir, if you would. You gentlemen may be seated. Thank you.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, same hope. Shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. You guys be seated for just a moment. Matt, you want to tell us about whatever you need to tell us about youth-wise?
Yes, I got a couple of things. Today from 12 to 2, we have our youth lunch at Adam and Courtney Green's house. I've just sent out directions from Courtney through Remind. So if you plan to attend that, please follow those directions because the maps have a way of sending you the wrong direction. So again, if you're coming to that, make sure you let us know you're coming to that so we have a good head count and nobody runs out of food or drinks or anything. The other thing is our Six Flags trip is coming up in 2 weeks on December 14th. I need your signed forms and your money for Six Flags this coming Wednesday night on the 4th. If you don't have a form, I've got some over on the welcome table as well as the sign up for that. But we need to get those tickets ordered as soon as we can this week. That way they don't sell out or anything for Holiday in the Park.
Amen. By the way, this dude is our interim youth minister doing a great job. Thank you. Can't thank you enough. He's our interim youth guy while we find another one. Amen. Just a few things. Harold and Pam. Where'd she run off to? She is? Okay. So, Harold, stand up real quick if you don't mind, please, sir. See this dude in the green shirt? He's taking y'all to lunch. He may have already, y'all met him? Cool. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. You find out while you're feeding them how we can sponsor them. And then get back with me and let me know. And I'll let the whole church know. Chris, you let him know, and I'll let the whole church know exactly how we can sponsor people in Adult Teen Challenge, okay? The other thing real quick is, as you know, is we've got our Community Kids Christmas Drive coming up, and that's where we will literally provide Christmas for somewhere between 100 and 120 children in this community that wouldn't otherwise have Christmas. But we need a lot of popcorn tins. You know what I'm talking about? The big bucket. We need a lot of those. I've heard that Atwoods has got it as cheaper than anybody. But anyway, if we'll probably need, I don't know. Do you know, Judy? How many?
We need at least one for every family. Some families get more because it's a large family.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha. Okay. All right. So we need a lot of popcorn tins. If y'all want to help us out with that, you can bring popcorn tins up here, and that'll help us take care of all those families and those children this Christmas. Now, I'm going to leave you with one thing. There's about to be a newspaper article in the newspaper about the new building, but I want you to hear it from me first, okay? So I'm gonna leave you with this. Grace Bible Fellowship of HICO is breaking ground on a new church facility this year. The new property is located just west of the HICO Cemetery on Highway 6, heading towards Iredell. We are very excited for the Lord's provision and direction that we've experienced as we've sought His will and His leadership throughout this entire process through prayer and the study of His Word. We have been able to see the fingerprints of God from start to finish throughout this project. One of the most exciting parts of this experience has been meeting the precious people who sold us the land, and then how we met the contractor, ML Gray. Most of you have heard that story, crazy story, and then working with HH Architects. And we've seen the Lord's leading throughout all of this and have built lasting friendships, lasting relationships with these people who love the Lord. And it's been a great blessing from God to be able to work alongside people that want to build His kingdom. Amen. It's been a great blessing. The contractor, ML Gray, and HH Architects have spent time studying the architecture of historic HICO and implementing it into a beautifully designed landmark building that will greatly complement the outstanding cultural, aesthetic, and historical importance of this wonderful community that we call home and HICO. Phase one of the new building will include a worship auditorium that will seat 350 people. I didn't put this in the newspaper, but y'all know it's expandable to 500. There'll also be a big, huge foyer fellowship hall area that will serve multiple purposes, and the new building will include a children's wing along with some Bible study and office space. We are so grateful to the Lord for the privilege of joining Him in expanding His kingdom by bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to our community, and we are thankful for all the precious people at Grace Bible Fellowship and outside of GBF that have had the privilege of meeting and joining hands to reach more people for His kingdom. Thank you for serving alongside us as we take God's truth to the world. And so this is a very exciting time for our church. Continue to pray, if you will, for God's divine wisdom, His guidance, His provision as we move forward with construction. I'm going to leave you with this. This is something that Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34. My nourishment, He told His disciples, comes from doing the will of God and finishing His work. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. What a great blessing. What a great time of worship. We thank You for the miracles that You've done in all of our lives. And may we continue to learn to surrender our lives, surrender control to You. May we continue to learn to let You be God. Let You have Your way in our lives so that we can have the glorious privilege of coming alongside You and building Your kingdom as opposed to building our own little kingdoms here on earth. And we pray all these in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.